Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program this afternoon. Here to take your calls, Dr. Franca Cowie of Greenfield Animal Hospital in Greenfield Center, New York. A native Jordanian, Dr. Cowie studied animal science as an undergrad in Baghdad. Once in the U.S., he earned a master's in reproductive physiology, an MBA, and a PhD in pet health management. He also obtained a veterinary degree from Ross University. Dr. Cowie integrates the principles of traditional Chinese veterinary medicine and acupuncture into his vast Western medical background. As part of the treatment, he takes the pulse of an animal in 6 femoral locations and considers its qi or energy when making treatment decisions. I have no idea what that means, but we'll find out in a moment. Now, to get in line to call, it's 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can do it the new way. You can post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website. Go to wamc.org/voxpop, or you can comment below today's wall post on our Facebook page. Vox Pop is, you'll see a listing there on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Or you could tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. And if you are submitting a written version of a question, try to provide as much info as you can, including your pet's age and sex. And it just makes it easier for the doctor to answer your question. Dr. Cowie, after that long introduction, welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So let's talk for a moment, and already the calls are coming in, but let's talk for a moment about how your practice differs from many in our region. For instance, I read this. Patrick wrote it. You take the pulse of an animal in 6 femoral locations and consider the qi. Help this radio broadcaster out. I have no idea what that means.
This is called Eastern medicine.
Okay.
I specialize in acupuncture and Chinese herbal therapy, but I don't rely solely on that. Primarily, I was a Western veterinary graduate from Ross University, as you introduced me. So I studied the Western traditional medicine first. And this is when a few years down the road, I got frustrated with some cases like cancer, tumors, chronic illness that really our Western medicine mask the signs and relief the clinical or the symptoms, but really doesn't resolve the problem. So I decided to pursue Eastern medicine, where you can try to use the body energy itself to heal itself, because the body does have the ability to do that. And the way to really get a diagnosis from Eastern standpoint, you have to rely on internal organ signs like the pulse. Mm-hmm. And the pulse, as we know it in Western medicine, indicate one thing, which is the heart viability. But in Eastern medicine, there is literally a pulse position for each internal organ, and you can, by getting trained, you can really find out the health of other internal organs like the kidney, the liver, the spleen, the pancreas, by looking or feeling the pulse and looking at the tongue. The tongue also gives you an idea about which organ is really ailing in the body by the coating of the quality of the coating of the tongue, the color, the consistency, and each region of the tongue does have or correspond to internal organ too. So that's what Eastern medicine is all about. Once you know what really ailing, failing, not functioning properly, then you can target that organ with combination of acupuncture, electroacupuncture, aquapuncture, laser acupuncture, and Chinese herbs to try to bring those organs back to normal. So it's a lot different than Western medicine.
Well, I mean, one of the critics, a standard conservative medical critic from the West would say, well, things like acupuncture, you know, you may have anecdotal evidence that, yes, this works on this patient, but it's hard to quantify scientifically why it works. How do you bridge that gap?
This is actually, your point is a very good point, but it's an old point. Nowadays, there is actually a quantitative measurement of each acupressure point, there's 360 mm-hmm. of them. For example, the immune point in the body, the one we put needle in, there's an actual research done where they injected vaccine and measured antibodies 14 days later, where in traditional or Western medicine, we have to give 1 cc of rabies vaccine to yield X number of IgGs. We, in that particular immune point, we put 0.01 ml in that point, and we yielded almost 10 times more than the regular. So there is actual research now about each point. That's one thing. Second, acupuncture has been around for 5,000 years.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Penicillin was discovered when? A couple hundred years ago,
yeah.
So really, some of it is anecdotal, but nowadays they're actually measuring hormones, enzymes, and, that correspond with, for example, intervertebral disc disease. You use the acupuncture, and you study the results. You take samples, which hormone, which enzyme was released, which of course, you know, we have also indexes for pain, like CO2, nitrous oxide. Mm-hmm. You know, you measure, did it go up, did it go down? Wow, it did go down. Then, so there is now a lot of research done by university or universities. I'm really very happy now how universities first were very opposed to acupuncture. The last 5-7 years, they've been really integrating that into Western medicine. I don't think it should really take over. And that's my point. It's integrative medicine.
Right. And I think the point is well made. By the way, our guest is Dr. Frank Akowie of Greenfield Animal Hospital. It is Pets and Vets. The number to call, 800-348-2551. But, you and I are talking about Eastern medicine, but you are also well-versed and extremely well-experienced in Western medicine. So if anyone has a question, a general question on pets, now is the time to call 1-800-348-2551. We go to the phones. It's Michael in Cornwall. Michael, you're on.
Yes, doctor. I would like to ask, it concerns hyperthyroidism in cats. The recommended course that we've been following has been methotrexate, is it called?
Yes.
The 5 mg twice a day, morning and evening. Or go to a radioactive, I guess, kind of zapping of the tumor. Do you recommend any other possibilities for this?
Okay, let me understand you right. You're saying hypothyroid in cats?
Hyperthyroidism. In other words, they're beyond the gray zone. They're getting thin.
So hyper and not hypo, yes?
Hyper.
Okay, hyper, because the hyperthyroid in cats is actually overproduction of thyroid. It's called Graves' disease in human. And it is a tumor. However, it's not malignant tumor. That gland becomes so big and produce so much thyroid. And basically, the clinical signs, the heart get affected, metabolism, they lose weight, they'll start vomiting, and all kind of clinical signs. The treatment is three different options. Obviously, there is surgery. You can go there and remove the thyroid glands, and that would be instantaneous results. However, there is also other thyroid glands called parathyroid glands next to the thyroid glands. So inevitably, you're going to remove those, which are responsible for calcium metabolism, and also the cats become hypothyroid because now you have no thyroid.
You need medication forever for
that.
Yeah,
so it's really a radical and it's very tough surgery. A specialist have to do that. But I don't like the side effects. Potentially, you have to put them on thyroid medication.
Yeah.
So that's one. Second, there is actually a radioactive iodine treatment where you use that to eradicate the thyroid gland. Again, you will decrease how much cells there. Almost always, they will be hypothyroid. And they have to be isolated for 7 days. You have to collect their poop and pee and dispose of it because it will be radioactive. The last treatment which we use in most practices is a pill that we give. It's called methimazole, And if you can get the medication into the cat, it's really very successful. It blocked the function of the thyroid gland, so it still functioned, but not at high amount. Mm-hmm. And all the clinical signs can fade away, like the heart will start to function normal. They will start to gain weight. They will be less restless and less anxious. And this is cats where they don't tolerate the pills or people don't want to use drugs. I complement that with acupuncture and herbs. There is a Hyperjaya Bing formula, Chinese herbs, or Heavenly Emperor formula made by Golden Flower, if you don't want to go completely Western. Or you could combine both. I like adding the Chinese herbs because really they work on the clinical signs of the cat. They make the cat feel much better. Cats are very sensitive creatures.
Michael, thanks a lot for the call. You know, we've had callers before to Pets and Vets who have treated their own pets with Chinese herbs. And my only concern when I hear someone say that is, you know, you buy it yourself, you dose it yourself. Is it wise to try something like that, even though it's quote unquote just an herb? Is it wise to try something like that yourself at home without someone telling you, well, try it this
sure.
way?
I wouldn't recommend that. First of all, there's because the herbs are not regulated by the FDA like regular drugs. There's a lot of impure harvest out there, and everybody can buy a certain herb and market it for any condition, and you would think it should work. But unless you really know the source, know the purity, because most of them grow it in China, and China doesn't have as much regulation on purity and harvest. So it is better to consult with veterinarian that really know about herb to make sure the purity is good, effectiveness. And there's another thing. I never like to use only single herb. I like to use formulas where you can take 6-7 herbs mixed together that target disease process. It works much better, and because each disease have like a lot of clinical signs, like with hyperthyroid, they lose weight, they are restless.
Yeah.
Their heart, they get cardiomyopathy, basically. So you really have to add all those herbs that nourish the heart, that decrease the heat, remove the dampness. And that's not going to be provided by just one herb. So it is better to really consult with somebody that is very familiar with that. A lot of times when formula doesn't work, you may have to change to another one. Mm-hmm. Like you said, maybe there is side effects that you should be aware of. Cats are, you know, high metabolism species. They metabolize things faster than dogs.
So you'll see the results, any side effects, much quicker.
Much quicker.
All right, Doc, let's take a break here. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Frank Akawi is here. It's Pets and Vets. More on the way.
Support for WAMC comes from Bow Wow Bathhouse Resort and Daycare, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. For over 7 years, providing 10 hours of daily indoor-outdoor play, professional grooming, and retail shop, thebowwowbathhouse.com. Don Muller Gallery, Northampton, Massachusetts. Specializing in jewelry, custom designs, handcrafted glass, and gifts by American artists since 1978. Facebook and donmullergallery.com. Capcom Federal Credit Union. Offering home mortgages, auto loans, checking, financial planning, and more, capcomfcu.org. Hudson Valley Bounty, an initiative of the Hudson Valley Agribusiness Development Corporation, promoting Hudson Valley farms, wineries, restaurants, and more, hudsonvalleybounty.com. Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady. Featuring new dental technology, including implants and computer-aided local anesthesia, PadulaDDS.com. And Susan Odell Taylor School, Troy, New York, preschool through sixth grade, educating children in the capital region since 1998. School day tours available, nurturing minds, shaping the future, TaylorSchool.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Frank Akawi of Greenfield Animal Hospital is our guest today. We go back to the phones. It's Menard in Schenectady. Hi, you're on.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I have a six-month-old kitten that I rescued at 3.5 weeks of age that has just been diagnosed with essentially hepatitis, a liver infection. And I'm not sure. I know I had hepatitis, and there's no way for people to get it cured with medicine. You have to do it nutritionally. So I was just wondering what he had to say about that.
Okay. Dr. Akami?
Sure. That's definitely young cat. Rarely cats get only hepatitis because there are so many organs very close to the liver, like the gallbladder, the pancreas, and of course the stomach. So a lot of times they will have a touch of a little bit of everything. Sometimes they call it triditis. And the only way to really distinguish and differentiate between what exactly the cat has is to do ultrasound of the liver, obviously, and check the biliary tree where the gallbladder dispose of the bile, and check the pancreas. Like you said, infection is something we should look at, and primarily you should always, you know, based on ultrasound and culture, use antibiotic, or if that is not feasible, you should use two or three antibiotics to cover the entire spectrum of bacteria, because if you don't culture it, you don't know really what kind of bacteria you have.
Would you do that as just a sort of before you even knew what the cat had, just to see if that cleared it up?
Yeah, I would, but that would be based on a blood work, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did a blood work, right. Mm-hmm.
Blood work, obviously liver enzymes were elevated. The next thing would be to do the bile acid test to make sure the liver is functioning properly, because that's a huge difference if you have inflammation and infection versus dysfunction of the liver itself. And the bile acid test will help you do that or determine that. And the next thing to do, either ultrasound or try therapy like we were discussing, to cover all spectrum of bacteria. Mm-hmm. So something antibiotic, gram-positive, gram-negative, you definitely need to make sure your cat is eating, because if cats...
Oh, he's not at all. He's not. No. I'm having to stuff...
You have to force
feed. He's not. He's getting very bloated. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Force feed. Sometimes you put feeding tube, because if cats stop eating, they get a disease called hepatic lipidosis, where the body starts to break down fat to live on calories. And that clogs even the biliary tree more. Mm-hmm. And it would be a very tough situation. Definitely use something like milk thistle. In Western medicine, they have something called denimarin. It has celebin and the milk thistle together. It's a hepatotrophic, which nourishes the liver. You definitely have to use a low-fat diet, because if the liver is not working properly, the last thing you want to do is do fat, which needs bile. So make sure you use something very bland, Purina makes a diet called the EN diet. That's perfect for that. Sometimes they use prednisolone too, or anti-inflammatory, but definitely you need to do an ultrasound before you determine that you need to do that, because the gallbladder and the pancreas have to be involved to use prednisolone.
Menard, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Morgana in East Taconic. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to ask the doctor a question. It might be a little broad, but we run a sanctuary for elder dogs and special needs animals, and we recently brought up a dog from the South who tested positive for heartworm. And they treated him first with doxycycline, and then they treated him with a homeopathic, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it, treatment for heartworm. I'd like to find out what alternative treatments the doctor can speak to for dogs that test positive for heartworm.
Thank you for your question. Unfortunately, there is no homeopathic or alternative treatment to killing the actual worm. Mm. The only way you can kill the worm by using imidacide, which is really a medicine made to kill the adult, and then you use ivermectin, which is HeartGuard or Interceptor or Iverheart, any of those things, to kill the microfilaria, which is the baby little worms that eventually become adult. That process takes 6 months, but if this dog tested positive for the adult worm. He needs the adult treatment. Otherwise, those adult worms will be continuously, especially the females, obviously, because there's males and females, the adult worms, producing microfilaria. And every time this dog gets bit by a mosquito, it's going to transmit that to other dogs that don't have that. So not only it's not going to work for the poor dog, but it's going to be a source of infection for other puppies that are not on heartworm preventative. Now, once you kill the adult worms, there is homeopathic and there is Chinese herbs you can use to cleanse the system from the parasites, but you really have to get the source first.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. There's a question related to that popped up in my head.
All right.
The dog is non-symptomatic, and initially they would not ship him because of state ag rules in New York until he had this treatment, and then they sent him up. Now, I know for a fact that all they did was a snap test, and that's, you know, he came in quote-unquote low positive on the snap test. I know that that's not really a good indicator, because we have several heartworm-positive dogs that have come in low and turned out to be loaded with microfilaria. But
sure.
I mean, not with microfilaria, but with adult worms and damage to the heart. Could you speak just briefly to the snap test versus any other kind of test that would give an indication for a non-asymptomatic dog?
Okay.
Sure. That's a very good question, because really asymptomatic means the load of the worms in the heart probably not as great to cause clinical signs. There's we have five different categories we classify dogs at. They still all have to be treated, but if you have a grade 3 or 4 or 5, obviously causing heart disease, you have to be gentle with the dose that you use and maybe break it down. Typically, we do a shot a month or every 2 weeks, twice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a very heavy load, then you use the small dose, because once they get killed, you will have massive release of those adult pieces everywhere and can cause thromboembolism, clot in the lungs, and it can kill, really. So you really have to do that. X-rays would be one of the best things to do to determine which stage they have. But I agree with you. The snap test doesn't tell you about the microfilaria. So you have to do a slide or send that sample to the lab to see if he's tested for both the NOTS test and the snap test. One is antigen and one is an actual for the microfilaria. And you can also, by looking at the slide, you can see how many microfilarias are swarming around. And then the next thing would be to do X-rays. If he does have a low load, then, you know, it can be treated aggressively initially and then put him on the preventative to
care. The so-called slow method that they say to use HeartGuard or Iverheart, one of those, for 2 years for a so-called low-positive dog, and then they should be clear. This is what vets have told me. Then they should be fully clear.
It's misinformation, dear.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. You really need the imidacide. I mean, you can use HeartGuard, which is safe because it doesn't, when they are positive, you can use that for future infection. But that's only going to kill the microfilaria. It's not going to touch the adult.
Okay.
So you will have a cleaner blood, per se, and prevent any future infection, but it's not going to kill the adults. Really, you need the imidacide. That's the best thing.
Okay, thank you. And would you be sure to repeat your information, doctor, before the show is over?
Sure. In fact, I'll give you the website right now. It's www.greenfieldvets, all one word, greenfieldvets.com.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Doctor, you know, you mentioned something early in the answer to that call that I frankly never considered, and that is there is the possibility through mosquito bites to actually pass this. So presumably not all dogs are diagnosed when they have heartworm and they die or whatever. So has there been a gradual increase, as you might expect, because of mosquito bites in the general population? Has the incidence of heartworm increased?
Yes, it has. And actually, because of some misinformation, we have a lot of Maybe because of the geographical area, some veterinarians say, oh, you can use the heartworm preventative 6 months every year because during the cold, freeze over, there's no mosquito. But really, all you need is one mosquito.
Yeah.
And we've been experiencing a lot of warm area. I mean, the winters have not been as freezing as they used to be. But what is the loss? I mean, you, $5 a month to give your dog a pill. You are absolutely right. If you're not giving your pet the preventative, you are exposing a lot of other people that are not on the preventative also. And all it takes is one mosquito, and 6 months later, they have a heartworm. So I think the best thing to do is just give your dog the preventative every month, 12 months a year.
Are there side effects?
There is no side effects at all. With the, I mean, it has the amount of ivermectin in HeartGuard. Or Interceptor is another medication, which is a different medication. Milbomycin is extremely low. And it doesn't cause a lot of... Now, if we do have dogs that have liver disease or like that cat, that because ivermectin has to be metabolized by the liver, I may put them on milbomycin or Interceptor. But I wouldn't say, oh, don't use anything because it's a fatal disease. I mean, really, it doesn't make sense to say, well, let me play the roulette and see if maybe my dog wouldn't get it. But look what happened with Lyme disease.
Or West Nile or anything like that.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's multiplying like crazy now. And a lot of it stems from people, some people advocate prevention 6 months of the year.
Yeah.
And people follow the advice. And almost always you see the pet with Lyme disease or heartworm. Or some of the diseases easily can be prevented with some of the medication.
Well, it brings responsible pet ownership to a different level if you're now responsible for the health of pets all around you. So that's very interesting. Dr. Frank Akawi is our guest. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. It's Nancy's turn. Nancy in Schenectady, you're on.
Hi, I'm calling about, well, it's not a medical question really, but my cat is quite dog phobic. When my daughter's dog or my sister's dog comes to visit, he disappears. He's not going to be around dogs at all if he can help it. My husband is retiring in about a year, and he'd really love to have a dog. So is there a way of the least traumatic possible way of introducing a dog into a home with a cat who's so dog phobic?
Sure there is, Nancy. Well, first of all, what I would do, always make sure the introduction is controlled. What then by that I mean, if you will bring a dog to the house, make sure the cat in a crate or a cage, or the dog in a crate and the cat outside. This way, you know, and predictable action will be controlled in case they go at it. Second, you really have to start working on the cat's, I mean, phobic means anxiety and fear. So you have to work on that, and you can do that two ways. First of all, there's counter conditioning. You can find out what scares the cat is the noise from the dog. So maybe you can have a recording of music with some kind of dog in the background. Maybe some of the Christmas songs with...
How much is that dog in the window?
Woof, woof.
Some woof, woof sound or noise before you bring the dog in. This way, after a while, the cat will get used to the noise level. Second, you may want to consider something like Dr. Bach's flower therapy or rescue remedy, which you can put in the cat's water, and it has about three flowers that we know work on anxiety and fear all mixed together. It's flowers, so it's not drugs, and it does help with relaxing the cat and making her make less of an issue.
What is this?
Interesting.
What's the name of it?
It's called Dr. Bach's Flower Therapy.
Dr.
Bach, B-A-C-H.
Oh, okay.
It has mimulin, rose rock in it. Those are flowers we know work for anxiety, and actually they relax you. It's like brandy for the cat.
Oh, wow. And we don't recommend brandy for the cat, but that's interesting.
Catnip wouldn't do it, huh?
No, I was just joking. And then the other thing, they do have treats for cats called Composure, which has amino acid that work on the dopamine receptors and make them much more calm and collected. One chew twice a day, along with the rescue remedy, along with the counter conditioning and controlled introduction. I think that should help
good.
A lot.
Nancy, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Dr. Frank Akawi of Greenfield Animal Hospital is our guest. Nancy in Slingerlands. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
I am well.
Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I'm calling. I have an 11-year-old Yorkie Terrier. And probably within the last 2.5-3 years, she's having this reverse cough, and it's like a reverse sneeze almost. And I think it's getting progressively worse. And it'll be either she'll stand up. There's no rhyme or reason to when she's going to do it. And I'm wondering, when I had taken her to our vet, they thought that they could give her a little bit of Robitussin. Have you ever heard of anything like that? I'm like, okay.
Well, first of all, Nancy, the second Nancy in a row. First of all, you really have to make sure, is it reverse sneeze or is it cough? From what you said, they were not sure what it is. Because that these are two different conditions. If you have an actual cough, cough comes, think about it, trachea, and then lungs. And then heart. So you really have to make sure, is this tracheitis, is it bronchitis, or is it heart disease? And I assume they did x-rays. If they didn't, that would be the next thing I would do, because that will actually differentiate two conditions immediately. You can rule out the heart. If the heart is involved, I assume they listen to the heart. If there is a murmur or abnormal sounds, they probably have to do EKG. But if you rule out the heart, then you kind of got to the meaty, gritty information what causes cough in dogs. And that could be anywhere from the trachea, like I said. We all know about kennel cough, tracheitis. That should be resolved easily with antibiotic. Robitussin is for human. They should use cough drops that are designed for dogs. The Robitussin will work, but with a Yorkie, my God, a little bit. I mean,
a little drop.
Yeah, a little drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be out for hours.
Oh, boy.
Now, we do have actual pills for dogs. There's guaifenesin for cough. There's hydrocodone. Antibiotics should be used. Again, like I was telling the other lady with the liver, you have to really, what kind of organism you have. If you don't, you have to use two different antibiotics. If you think the lungs involved, you may have to use a bronchodilator too, like asthma. And those little guys are known for having allergic bronchitis, which is a combination of both tracheitis and allergic bronchitis, means really asthma. So I would look into that, get more details. Maybe it's smoke related, maybe house dust, maybe it's allergy related. Those really can go into a category of their own. So you really have to narrow it down. And I think your vet need to do a little bit more work.
Okay. Nancy, we got to take a break. Well, go ahead. You can do a quick follow-up.
I just have a real quick follow-up question. Could it have anything to do with her teeth or anything if her teeth are bad?
Absolutely. There is.
It could?
Yes, it does. Because if you have bacteria sitting in the mouth all the time, just remember, every time you swallow, there is a dose of bacteria that goes systemically, liver, kidney, pancreas, and it can get to the heart. And once it does, you'll have endocarditis. They can have definitely the heart is next to the lungs. They can have all kind of stuff.
Okay.
So if she does have bad teeth, that would be the best thing to do. Treat her and get her teeth cleaned so you don't have source of infection sitting in the mouth next to the trachea.
All right, Nancy, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Interesting program today. Dr. Frank Akawi here on his first run here on the Vox Pop Pets and Vets program. We'll get more from Dr. Akawi coming up. It's the home stretch. 1-800-348-2551.
support for WAMC comes from the Dam Cafe and Deli, Saugerties, New York. Serving breakfast and lunch with chef-created soups, salads, vegetarian options, and homemade desserts. Catering services available, thedamcafeanddeli.com. Mango Tree Imports, Boston Spa, New York. A locally owned fair trade retail store featuring spring accessories and home accent pieces. Open 7 days a week with extended hours on first Fridays until 9 p.m. MangoTreeImports.com. Hildene, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont. Historic home, Pullman car, museum store, and walking trails open daily year-round, 9:30 to 4:30, hildene.org. Henry's at the Farm Restaurant, Milton, located at Buttermilk Falls Inn, 4 miles south of the Mid-Hudson Bridge. Dinner Wednesday through Sunday, lunch Friday and Saturday, and Sunday brunch, Henry's at buttermilk.com. Curran Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York. Providing legal and consulting services to life insurers in a changing regulatory climate, currancompliance.com. And Smith College Museum of Art, presenting Collecting Art of Asia, a four-part exhibition celebrating 100 years of Asian art at Smith, from traditional to contemporary, now on view, smith.edu/artmuseum.
one 800 348 2551. It's Vox Pop. It's Pets and Vets. Dr. Frank Akowie is here with us. Back to the phones we go. Jack and Claverick. Jack, you're on. Hello, Jack.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
You there?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I have a cat who, every time she goes outside, any season, comes in and all around her eyes are very red. And I have medicine from my vet. It says it is neomycin, polymyosin, and methasone or something. And I put it in. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But it seems like I'm putting it in two or three times a day because her eyes are always very red. Is there anything else I can do?
Yes, Jack. It sounds like your cat may have allergy. Obviously, every time the cat goes outside, it inhales something that the cat allergic to, then allergy is expressed, one of the organs expressed, and is the eyes. So topical medication are good because they relieve the redness, which is inflammation. The medicine
right.
we have has antibiotic. Actually, it has three antibiotics, so it help with the infection. But you really have to use something systemic too, because all those things are triggered by some of the white cells releasing a lot of histamine. Histamine cause the redness and inflammation in the body. So I would say using a systemic medication, just like me and you, if you have allergy, you take Allegra or, you know, we do have that for dogs and cats too. That helps from the inside. I think using that approach would be really a better idea, topical and systemic. And I would try to find out what your cat is allergic to. They have blood tests for that now. You can actually find out what your cat is reacting to and prevent that from happening. It's tough when your cat goes outside, but at least you'll have an idea and try to avoid that. And lastly, you may want to try to pre-medicate the cat before the cat goes outside, topically and systemically. This way you wouldn't wait till the eyes are red.
Yeah.
If medicine on board, just...
She's in and out all day, which is the problem. So you would suggest that I take her back to the vet and ask them to do some allergy tests?
I would if it was my cat.
Okay.
I
want
to know what the cat is allergic to. And then is there discharge coming from the eyes or just the redness?
It's red all around, and she scratches it all the time, and so then it's sore.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assume they did an eye test and eye staining, and they looked at the ducts, because that's
right.
another...
They did some eye staining, and the only thing they've given me is this medication, which, like I said, takes the redness out, but, you know, if she goes out 20 minutes later, she comes back in, it's back again.
Hmm. Yeah, I would definitely recommend to find out what the cat is allergic to and use systemic medication along with the topical medication.
Okay, thank you very much.
Jack, thanks a lot. Now, I mean, if it's something like pollen, That's a difficult thing to limit. In other words, if the cat goes outside, the cat's going to be affected.
Well, yeah. I mean, if it is pollens, or if you find out your cat is allergic to weeds and shrubs and trees, and you may have to consider keeping your cat inside.
Fair enough. Let's go to Danielle. It says Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Are you calling from Kentucky, Danielle?
I am. How are you today?
Oh, my God.
How are you? Nice to have you here. You're on with Dr. Akawi.
Hello, doctor. How are you?
Very good. Mitch McConnell country.
Well, we have horses, too, but this is on my elderly cat.
Okay.
About 8-9 months ago, she started rapidly declining in weight, and we took her to the vet and had blood work done, and she was fine. But it also at the same time coincided with she seemed to forget where the cat box was, and she would go outside the cat box. And I was wondering, can cats get Alzheimer's?
I assume, Danielle, they did the CBC and comprehensive exam and thyroid test?
They did everything.
They did a thyroid test?
Yes.
Okay.
And she was fine. They said she was in all the normal ranges.
Sure. If they did all the blood tests that eliminate kidney, liver, and thyroid, those are in diabetes. Those are the main diseases that can affect cats' urination and mental ability and weight gain and all that stuff. Cats and dogs. Actually, dogs, we have a syndrome called canine cognitive dysfunction disease.
Mm.
And there is medications for it, too. And cats can get that, too. Yeah, they'll if they live long enough. Remember, a long time ago, cats, they didn't used to live long. Now we have 17 and 18, and I had a couple cats in my practice, 24 and 25.
Wow, you're kidding me.
And if you convert that to a human age, that would be like 140 years old.
That's old. Yeah.
So, yeah, they can get it's not called Alzheimer's, obviously.
Okay.
The areas of the hypothalamus, those are the areas that rule and control long tracts that control urination and defecation and movement, the pituitary gland, all those things can have either inflammation or chemical imbalance or tumors that can affect really the cat mental ability. And, you know, you have to really, there is a couple medications available we use on dogs, but I've used a lot of human stuff that known to help memory and help cognitive center, like lecithin, for example, which is extracted from the egg yolk, phosphatidylcholine. Choline is the building block for nerves in the nervous system and the brain. Phosphatidylserine been approved actually in human for memory boost and Alzheimer's disease. So there's Chinese herbs you can use to help decrease the dampness and heat, which contribute to brain and or nervous system problems. So if the blood test was eliminating everything, they did x-rays, they didn't find tumors in the body, so it is in the brain, that's what I would do. There is actually, I think Hills make a diet called brain diet.
And
it is loaded with amino acids. No, we know help the nerves and increase their mental acuity and make them a little bit more, functional. And there is some companies do that. We have a product called Senility for dogs and cats,
mm-hmm.
or that again have amino acids, nutritional supplement that really improve brain function. So you should look into
very that. Interesting. Hey, great call, Danielle, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye now. It's Patrick's turn in Troy. Patrick, you're on.
Hello. Thank you. I've got a question. We're concerned about our adult Siamese male cat. He's about 2 years old. It may be too soon for concern. We had him to the vet just last night, but we had him neutered about 6 weeks ago, and ever since he has pretty much gone downhill in terms of energy, and he seems like he's aged 100 years in 6 weeks. And he was given a B12 shot last night and some Viralis, which is an amino acid, I guess, to help him with to build up some energy. And so far, we see no difference. The other thing is he has tested positive for feline leukemia. So we thought he was dying, but the doctors seemed to think that it was just a viral infection. But again, is there anything else we should look for, check for, or do for him, do you think?
Patrick, yeah, that's. I think you answered your own question. If he did test positive for leukemia, leukemia is cancer of the white blood cells, basically.
Understood.
Typically, cats, you neuter them, they bounce back in a couple days. So if it lingers that long, I would want to pursue the diagnosis with leukemia a little bit further.
Sure.
There's another test they can send to the lab. That test if the virus actually in the bone marrow, because the SNAP test we do in the clinic only tells you that there's exposure. First of all, I would repeat the regular test 4 weeks after the initial test.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an indirect amino assay test that they do at the lab. It tests if your cat has the virus in the bone marrow. And if that's the case, then really this means the leukemia is taking over and getting progressively worse. So you really have to target that. And I don't think just recovering from general anesthesia takes 6 weeks. Try to ask for that other test to see if your cat has it in the bone marrow or not. It's non-invasive. It's a blood test, but at least you'll know if that correlating with the cat not bouncing back after surgery.
Okay. Any realistic treatment or?
Well, unfortunately, Western treatment there for leukemia, you know, we don't have much. Some people use prednisolone to decrease the inflammation of the white cells crowded in the bone marrow. I use a lot of Eastern medicine. There is things that you can treat to boost up the immune system. Golden seal, echinacea. High bland diet, high nutritional supplement. Vitamins for sure, Pettenic or Liquitenic should be on board. And, periodic checkups with your vet. Those cats will get diseases in the mouth. They get dental problem. They get all kind of cystitis. So you really have to stay on top of that. And most importantly, please, 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 please keep your cat inside, not exposed to other cats.
Right.
Because that's a communicable disease. They can pass it through saliva and urine and bites and stuff. And it's not fair for other cats to get
that.
Understood, sure. All right.
Patrick, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Kay in Glenville. Kay, you're on with Dr. Frank Akawi.
Hi, Dr. Akawi. And thank you so much for taking my call. I know all the information that you just gave Danielle is going to help me an awful lot with a 14-year-old cat that has begun urinating wherever she pleases. So thank you for that. I won't repeat the question. That was awesome. My other question had to do with a golden retriever that's susceptible to the yeast infections in her ears. It seems she has some allergies and also the fur on her front paws. Down around her, on her paws, is very red, and the skin seems to be very callous because she chews on that because of all these allergies, and nothing seems to clear this up. I've tried different kinds of diets with her. I clean her ears with an otic solution and treat them with Zymox, which is the only thing that seems to help a little bit, but it doesn't really keep them, real clean, and they do bother her. Any suggestions?
Kay, you are a responsible pet owner. I like that. Zymox works really good as a preventative. It doesn't work if you have an actual infection. So typically you have to treat the infection first and then use the Zymox. Zymox basically eats up yeast, fungus, and bacteria before they form the infection. Cleansing is good to prevent, but really you have to look and find out why your dog keep getting allergies. And there's three major things in dogs that can cause chronic yeast infection. First of all, make sure she get tested for hypothyroidism, low thyroid. Thyroid nourishes the skin and the ears. If your dog have hypothyroid, I don't care how much you clean the ears and treat them, they will get it over and over and over again. And the second cause for chronic ear infection is food allergy. And I admire your effort to try different food, but you really have to get actual hypoallergenic food approved by veterinary company and the FDA. Over the counter, there's so many food that say this and that, and lamb. And you really have to go on a food. It may be a little bit more expensive. But it would be worth try. There is a couple companies that make that, like P Purina make hypoallergenic food, and Royal Canin make excellent one. And you really have to do 12 weeks of that, and you have to be very faithful. You can't put your dog on hypoallergenic diet and give him biscuits or treats or leftovers or, rawhide bones or pig ears. You may as well throw your money down the drain.
Yeah.
So you really have to be very, very careful with that. Lastly, allergy. You actually can have a test for that. You can have a test for food, too. They can test for if your dog allergic to weeds, grass, house dust, mites, fungus. And if it's for food, not only they'll give you if he is allergic or she is to food, but they will tell you which food, which category, so you can completely avoid. So you really have to do a comprehensive approach. I recently, if your dog end up having allergy, and that is causing the ear infection, there is a lot of Western and Eastern treatment that help with that. I recently been experiencing or working with laser therapy, and I've had amazing results on the ears and the skin, obviously in addition to the Western treatment, which, based on the samples you take from the ears and the skin, you can treat them based on that.
Are you there, or did you take notes?
I'm taking notes. Thank you so much. I will probably have her tested for the hypothyroidism.
Oh, absolutely. That would be my first thing I would do.
Okay. Kay, thanks a lot. We're out of time, but we appreciate your call very much. And thanks to everybody who called in. Apologies to Bridget, John, and Pat, who did not get through this time. Get in there as early as you can next program, and we will try to answer your questions. In the last 10 seconds I have, what do you do with a laser that helps an ear infection?
Laser is a new. Actually, the one we use is laser 4, same one they used for the Yankees and the Jets and the Giants. When you get injury, you put laser on the injured area. It dilates the blood vessels, and it takes all the ingredients causes the pain, like CO2, nitrous oxide, and bring enkephalins and endorphins, things we know, relief of the pain and the inflammation. And also it helped create what we call angiogenesis, new blood vessels.
Fascinating.
So if you have injured area that has atrophied blood vessels, new blood vessel come, nourishes the area. It feels good. It's very warm on the area, and it's non-invasive.
That's great. Dr. Frank Akawi, a pleasure having you on the program today. Support comes from Snow Farm Williamsburg, a New England craft program offering creative arts workshops taught by master craftspeople for adults and teens, beginners and up, snowfarm.org. Skidmore College Master's Program, offering individualized graduate studies in a wide range of interdisciplinary fields, masters at skidmore.edu. Richards Fuel and Heating, East Hampton, Massachusetts, providing high-efficiency gas and oil heating systems to the Pioneer Valley for over 45 years, now expanding into the Westfield area, richardsfuel.com. And Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, offering care and services to area seniors since 1975, including nursing home, rehabilitation, and more. Caring in the family tradition, kingswaycommunity.com. Thanks again to Frank Akawi, Greenfield Animal Hospital, greenfieldvets.com. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Our phones were answered by Colleen O'Connell, Patrick Donges, our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Cars with Gordon Fricke. Stay tuned now for a news update.